Hello, this is Joseph, and this is a podcast for A Walk in the Woods. Here we have Cameron Smith.
Yes, sir.
And Quinn Payline will be occasionally dropping in and now and then.
What up?
So, A Walk in the Woods depicts the adventure of Bill Bryson wanting to embark on a journey of the Appalachian Trail, and throughout him going on the trail, gets lost and he goes through some trials and some tribulations. And the journey feels like it's taking him forever. So it annoys him because it feels like he's not making any progress. And the difficulties, there's a lot of difficulties he faces. And Cam's going to talk a little bit about that too later on in this podcast because a long one. But yeah, guys, what'd you guys think of A Walk in the Woods?
I mean, I thought the book taught you a lot about self-respect and self-recognition, maybe. You learn a lot about yourself, especially on that long trail, especially with somebody that you don't really like at first and you slowly start to find a love with. I think that also shows that he found love in himself that let him lead to loving his partner.
I love you.
That's wild, bro. That's wild.
I wasn't supposed to say that. Okay. Back to the book. Kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, kind of like where my grandpa lives. He stays out in a rural environment near the border between Texas and Mexico. And obviously the terrain is very different.
Oh, is it, man?
But it's still kind of similar.
What type of terrain we're talking about now?
We're talking about, like, desert.
Desert?
Desert.
Man. Does he find any wanderers coming from somewhere?
Oh, they always have people that come up on their property coming across. And ooh. And normally they're not, like, aggressive or anything like that. They're pretty peaceful.
So do they just let them on by, is what you're saying? Or
well, they...
We're going to have to investigate this one, boys. Y'all hearing this?
Well, what they do is... they're armed. Like, my grandma knows how to shoot a gun and stuff. But, they, like, when they cross the Nueces River, like, they just... They usually... They don't come up close to the house. They, like, stay off in the woods.
I feel you.
Like, there's, like, a bunch of, like, shrubbery.
So do they ever go out there and hunt them? Like... You know, like, it's a game, like, my crazy masculine type stuff.
My grandparents are too old to hunt, but...
But you are.
My grandpa's a farmer, but I know there's, like, a lot of people out there that hunt, like, I guess, deer.
Deer, yeah.
There's a lot of people out there that have land, and they have, like, deer blinds set up.
Speaking of deer, do you ever hear anything in the book about him eating a deer? I mean, food-wise, what do you think his options were?
Squirrels.
Yeah.
Like a little squirrel trap, like low key.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever had squirrel, Joe?
No, I haven't. I just think if I was really hungry, like, and I had nothing else to eat, like, a squirrel would be an easy, like, target. Like, I throw a rock at it or something.
Right. Well, what's the most, like, what food have you eaten? Say you were out in the wild, bro. Can you you know what I mean? Like, I'm just not able to relate, but I know you're more of an outdoorsman. So,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Can you relate to the story?
I mean, definitely, I could see, like, some of the food he might eat.
Really?
It would be really good.
Does it put a different perspective on it for you, maybe, a little bit?
I think so. I mean, personally, like, I really like, you know, just carbohydrates to keep me going when I'm out.
Carbohydrates.
So, like, lots of rice and lentils.
Rice and lentils.
Subliminals?
Rice and lentils?
Lentils.
Lentils.
They're like... they're like a vegetable, I think.
Maybe.
It's like, it's got some nutritional value to it.
Some, not much, just maybe.
Well, not maybe. It definitely has some sort of nutritional value.
Absolutely, like 120%?
Like, probably 130%.
Oh, wow.
Like.
That's a lot. I believe it.
It'll keep you alive, for sure.
I believe it.
Keep you warm and that, some butter.
Some butter.
Cam, if you were out in the woods, what would you be your first thought?
First thought would be admiring nature, experiencing it.
Do you think you'd ever get tired of it? Or?
Oh, quickly, yeah. I mean, I'm so used to Wi-Fi, just with technology and going in the wild. I'll probably find my savage self, and I don't know if I want to encounter that. You know,
right.
What they see on the trail.
That's right. Well, what do you think about the bathroom situation on the trail?
Dude,
thoughts
I mean,
about that? Is it uncomfortable or is it leaves, rocks, anything?
I mean, as long as it's not poison ivy.
Right. Yeah, those are the worst. Yo, when I was growing up, I got poison ivy on the back of my knees. Because I like me and my friends used to always go, we have a trail behind like our house that leads up to the lake. And I was like playing around in some poison ivy and I got poison ivy on the back of my knees. And I literally could not walk for 2 weeks because like my legs were stiff. Because I get when I get poison ivy, I'm super allergic to it. So it swells up and it's like bad.
Yeah, you couldn't close your leg?
No, like I had to stay in a robe for like 2 weeks. Luckily, one of the weeks I was on spring break. So it was a pretty dreadful spring break. But back to the book. Steven, guy who writes the book, he has some offensive humor and uses like unbiblical sex in some of his writing. He understands their way of life, so he refers to them as the less than they are. He uses descriptive language to show them as crazy and as country. I think I can kind of relate to that, just kind of how we were talking, me and Key were talking earlier. I know some buddies who talk like that and they have like an accent and kind of slang draw. Like that. Yeah, that draw, yeah. That country draw. Pretty interesting. One of my close friends, he's got a draw like that, and he's from EC up in close to Paris, Texas. And he's going to be a Marine now. Not drafted, but he enlisted and he just got sent off to, I guess, base or wherever they like. They like set him up and get going in training. So that's pretty crazy. He's going off. Everybody's getting older. Everybody's moving on.
My grandparents live in East Texas, and when I spend a week there, I always come back with a different accent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Definitely. Definitely. There's also, I guess there's kind of a little bit of a dark theme throughout this book because he's upset and he feels alone sometimes. So.
Yeah. I'm just glad he had his buddy Cap with him. Although they fought at times, they were good friends. And they were there for each other on the trail. That was very important. You know?
Yeah, I think that's huge to have somebody with you when you experience something like that. Because it's pretty... what's the word? A big culture shock when you're out there.
Oh, yeah.
I would say. And not having anybody to go through it with would be extremely tough just because you wouldn't know what to do or where to start.
Indeed.
Yeah. And then making a fire. You know how to make a fire? Nothing much, coach. We're just filming a podcast. Yeah. Cam, you know how to make a fire without a lighter?
I've actually made a few fires myself with flint and steel.
Oh, a flint and steel. Mm-hmm. So you're knocking the coals off with a little... Do you use like a knife or did you use like a striker?
A striker. I get the striker, put it on the dry grass. I forgot.
Yeah, like some nesting or kindling.
Yeah.
And use that to spark it.
Spark the embers.
I always like. I've tried messing around with a striker before too. Camping, and you can find like a little rock. It's got you can just tell by the rock if it makes sparks on the striker, because some rocks don't. And I would always tear my hand up because I had missed a striker. Because you know how the striker kind of goes like around your hand or your fingers? And I'd missed the striker, and it just cut my fingers, tear them up. And I'd be trying to make a fire, and I was be so determined. It hurt my fingers. It was, I always liked flint and steel better than, like, trying to, like, actually trying to, like, because there's, like, several different ways you can make it. You got, like, you know, like, a bow drill. You got, like, the hand drill. You got different ways to make a coal or an ember.
Quinn, what about you? Do you know how to make a fire?
Oh, my God. What?
Do you know how to make a fire? Without a lighter. Without a lighter. And you can't just burn something up.
You get a lighter fluid and grab a lighter.
Like, burn, like, you know how you be, like,
Yeah, you get the stick and... Yeah, I know what you're talking about, sir. Nah, I don't know how to make fire. I was not in Boy Scouts. I was actually in Girl Scouts. I really liked the Girl Scout cookies, so I'd steal them.
What's your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
Sorry, someone's playing Nicki Minaj in the background. I'm just going to take care of that real fast. So what I miss? What did y'all talk about?
Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, really? That's
That's
really what y'all were talking about?
Mm-hmm. A little
bit. They are really good, aren't they?
They smack. Yeah.
Some of the best cookies. What's your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
You know, I've grown up with Thin Mints.
Yeah?
Those are my favorite, you know.
I grew up with Thin Mints too, but Samoas are just Samoas, you know? There's something about them I can't get. Yeah, every time I reach for it, it's like I keep reaching until the bag's empty, and then I'm like, dang it, what happened?
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Did he just leave us with this podcast?
I did not leave nothing. I'm right here. They were playing music.
Oh, nicely done, nicely done. I'll let you get your spot back, boy.
Why are you trying to sit on my lap?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I'll be right back. I gotta keep studying.
So tell us more about the book, Jay. What are your thoughts?
Well, right off the bat, I could relate to it. Mm-hmm. It was very relatable. I don't know. What are your thoughts about the book, Cam?
You know, it was a good experience.
More thoughts.
You know, I want to relate to it. You know, one day I'd like to embark on a trail and find myself on it, you know?
So, out of all the mountain ranges, I guess we could do it either in the United States or we could open it up to the world. I don't know how many.
I would like to do the Rocky Mountains.
Mm-hmm. I've been to the Rocky Mountains before, and it's really nice.
Okay.
I actually got to visit up in Canada, the Rocky Mountains. And so...
All the way up in Canada?
Yeah. I had a lot of fun up there. Up in Alberta and...
Okay.
And Banff. They got a really nice lake up there.
You just vacationing or family or?
Yeah, visiting. And it was cold. I'm telling you, it's cold. But yeah, I thought like the Rocky Mountains were really cool. One of the coolest things I got to see up there was little sidebar. They have a lot of like lakes, and so when it freezes, it gets really cold. Like, there's, like, ice, obviously, on the lake. And on different, like, depending on the temperature, depends on, like, how thick the ice is.
Mm-hmm.
I guess some other factors, too. But they have these really big trucks with huge wheels that are actually able to drive out on the lake, like, the sheet of ice.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised when you see how big the truck is. It's, like, I don't know if you've ever seen, not a bulldozer, but it's, like... Like, those big trucks that, like, hold, like, sand and, like, rocks and debris.
Yeah.
It's, like, one of those trucks, but, like, imagine, like, maybe, like, like chairs instead of, like where you could dump rocks and stuff. And huge wheels, probably about, you know, 20, 40 inches, I don't know, huge. Yeah, I mean, that's a big jump, but huge wheels. And they could go out and on the ice, and the ice actually won't break. I think that's... Thought that was pretty cool. If you were to go on a camping trip, What would you bring and why?
I'll bring the basic survival gear, along with already prepped meals, so I don't really have to do much work. I'll bring a tent.
What kind of tent? Like, are you talking like a tarp? Or are you talking like a full like night, like a really nice tent? Like, you got the like the little things that keep it up.
Like, I'd say the in between. I wouldn't want it too modern of a tent. I want to do some work, you know, earn my keep.
And what are you looking for a potential campsite when you put, like, when you place your camp?
I'm just looking for something that has a lot of trees or a natural barrier around me so I don't encounter much wildlife.
Well, the reason I ask is I saw in National Geographic, you know those people who go, like rock climbing? They have those tents that you can actually, like, hook up to, like, the rocks. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing those, and I'm just, like, thinking, how does somebody sleep over nothing? Like, they just hang there.
I mean, there's sort of, like, you know,
hang. They got, like, a little pulley. Like, they, like, clip it on. Yeah. And it's just small. It's, like, a little square tent, but.
I know what you're talking about. Do that on Everest.
Mount Everest, whew. That'd be cool. I watched a movie about Mount Everest a while back. There's actually a lot of people who don't make it back from Mount Everest.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many people don't get back down. There's like, I think there's a statistic, it's like maybe 1 in 10, maybe? 1 in 20? I don't know. Hopefully it's not too bad, but obviously people don't, not all people make it back. But it's, sometimes it can start, like, the weather is completely different at the top than it is, at, you know, even in between or on the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
You're going so high up in elevation. The air is so thin up there, too. Bring in oxygen mask and tanks.
So, as we close up this podcast, can you tell me more about what you liked about the book? How it affected you?
I liked, it kind of sparked, me to think again, kind of about my own experiences camping, and kind of being frustrated, being out there, but also sparked a lot of, you know, good memories from camping, where you look up at the sky, and you see, like, millions of stars, and stuff like that you can't really see, especially like here in the suburbs, you can't see all those stars. You only see like a couple stars.
Yeah, all the light pollution, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All, because all the cities, especially North Dallas is growing up. I remember when, like, where I live, 121 wasn't even, like, it was just a 2-lane, like, state road or service road. It wasn't even a highway when I was really young. And so now that whole area is grown up with all those different businesses coming down.
Yeah.
Shields, Nebraska Toyota. Furniture. Toyota, yep. That was a big one. I think Frito-Lay is over there too. Off, not Enterprise, but one of those streets. But yeah, it's crazy. I think that's good, right? Well, that concludes our podcast. Thank you for listening. I'm sorry for wasting your 20 minutes. All right. Bye, guys.